Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and I'm reading today from the words of A.W. Pink, who lived from 1886 to 1952. He was an Englishman who came to America and Australia and his own land and preached the gospel, taught the word of God very, very well. We're reading a book of his called Comfort for Christians. It's actually a booklet. It's small, but we're taking several days to go through it. It's chapter 9, God's Inheritance. He uses Deuteronomy 32:9 as his text. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. This verse brings before us a most blessed and wonderful line of truth, so wonderful that no human mind could possibly have invented it. It speaks of the mighty God having an inheritance. And it tells us that this inheritance is in his own people. God refused to take this world for his inheritance. It will yet be burnt up. Nor did heaven, peopled with angels, satisfy his heart. In eternity past, Jehovah said, by way of anticipation, my delights were with the sons of men. Proverbs 8:31. This is by no means the only scripture which teaches that God's inheritance is in his saints. In Psalm 135:4, we read, For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure. In Malachi 3:17, the Lord speaks of his people as his special treasure, and so special that the highest manifestations of his love are made to them. The richest gifts of his hand are bestowed on them. The mansions on high are prepared and reserved for them. The same wondrous truth is taught in the New Testament. In Ephesians 1, we behold the Apostle Paul praying that God would give unto his people the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of their understanding being enlightened, that they might know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Ephesians 1:18. This is a truly amazing expression. Not only do the saints obtain an inheritance in God, but he also secures an inheritance in them. How overwhelming the thought that the great God should deem himself the richer because of our faith, our love, and worship. Surely this is one of the most marvelous truths revealed in Holy Writ, that God should pick up poor sinners and make them his inheritance, and yet so it is. But what need has God of us? How can we possibly enrich him? Does he not have everything, wisdom, power, grace, and glory? All true. Yet there is something that he needs, yes, needs, namely vessels. Just as the sun needs the earth to shine upon, so God needs vessels to fill, vessels through which his glory may be reflected, vessels on which the riches of his grace may be lavished. Mark that God's people are not only called his portion, his special treasure, but also his inheritance. This suggests three things. First, an inheritance is obtained through death. So God's inheritance is secured to him through the death of his beloved Son. Second, an inheritance denotes perpetuity. To a man and his heirs forever are the terms often used. And third, an inheritance is for possession. It is something which is entered into, lived upon, enjoyed. Let us now consider five things about God's inheritance. Number one, God proposed to have such an inheritance. Psalm 33:12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The nation here is identical with the holy nation, the chosen generation, the royal priesthood, the peculiar people of 1 Peter 2:9. This favored people was chosen by God to be his inheritance. It was not an afterthought with him, but decreed by him in eternity past. Ere the foundation of the world, God fixed his heart upon having them for himself. Number two, God has purchased his people for an inheritance. In Ephesians 1:14, we are told that the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And so again, in Acts 20:28, we read of the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. God has not only redeemed his people from bondage and death, but for himself. Number three, God comes and dwells in the midst of his inheritance. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. Psalm 94:14. A clear proof that these scriptures are not referring to the nation of Israel after the flesh, just as Jehovah tabernacled in the midst of the redeemed Hebrews, so he now indwells his church, both collectively and individually. Know ye not that ye, plural, are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that your body, singular, is the temple of the Holy Ghost? 1 Corinthians 6:19. Number four, God beautifies his inheritance. Just as a man who has inherited a house or an estate takes possession of it and then makes improvements, so God is now fitting his people for himself. He who has begun a good work within his own is now performing it until the day of Jesus Christ, Philippians 1:6. He is now conforming us to the image of his Son. Each Christian can say with the psalmist, "The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me." Nor will God be satisfied until we have been glorified. The Lord Jesus Christ shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his own glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Philippians 3:21. When he shall appear, we shall be like him. 1 John 3:2. And number five, what of the future? God will yet possess, live upon, enjoy his inheritance. In the unending ages yet to be, God will make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. Romans 9:23. The glory which God shall ever live upon, as upon an inheritance, shall rise out of his people. What a marvelous statement is that which is found at the close of Ephesians 2, where the saints are likened unto a building fitly framed together, which groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, of whom it is said, "In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit," Ephesians 2:21 and 22. Wonderful and glorious is the picture presented before us in Revelation 21. It says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." What a marvelous statement is that in Zephaniah 3:17. "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love, he will joy over thee with singing." The great God will yet say, "I am satisfied, here will I rest. This is mine inheritance that I will live upon forever. Even the glory which I have bestowed on redeemed sinners." Surely we have to say with the psalmist, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it." Psalm 139:6. May divine grace enable us to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Now, that was chapter 9. God's inheritance. Chapter 10, next time, will be God securing his inheritance from that same Deuteronomy 32. We'll talk about it then. Thank you for listening. Please look around the site. We have over 3,000 audios featuring some of the church's great preachers, persecution stories from North Korea in English and Korean, 400 in Korean. Bible studies on a number of subjects, and a blog. If you want more fellowship, please consider visiting my YouTube channel, known as Pasturelands, or buying one of my books at Amazon.com. Or contact me at bob.j.faulkner.72@gmail.com, and I'll share details of our Saturday evening Zoom meeting for men, our Tuesday noon meeting for men and women. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun, and this audio is being released on October 26, 2022. Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.